Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday. We're back. The Football Scoop Podcast. I've got college football experts Zach Barnett, John Bryce. I, of course, am your host, Scott Roussel. It is great to see you guys. Fellas, today I'm going to jump right in because I want to talk about something that I'm pretty excited about. There are some teams, believe it or not, Vegas is very interested in college football. Their win totals out there, you can kind of see what they think the expectations are. I didn't know if y'all knew about that or not, but betting's a thing. And there are win totals out there, and it kind of tells you where Vegas thinks this team's going to be this year. But believe it or not, Vegas isn't always exactly right. Anyway, with that said, I'm looking for teams that we think, each of you thinks, and I think will overperform or underperform. And Zach, sometimes you go with a negative. So maybe I'll ask you for an underperform. Zach, you want to start us off?
So I've got a list of teams for overs and unders that I really like, but I've got one of each that I'm considering betting my hard-earned George Washington's on.
Go ahead.
So for unders that I like, Tennessee under 8.5. Okay. They play Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, Florida. I would take them to lose every one of those games. And if they either have to beat one of those teams or they have to go undefeated against the rest of their schedule. I like my odds there. Similarly, Texas is 9.5. They're at Florida, at Georgia, at Ohio State, obviously. They either have to win one of those and sweep, or they have to sweep the rest of their games. Texas hasn't lost a true road game since 2022. They're obviously a very good road team. They're going to lose a road game at some point. Obviously, all those three are on the road. Other warning shot games to me are at Kentucky. They go on the road at Kentucky after a hard stretch. They go on the road at Mississippi State. I would not be surprised if they lost either one of those games. In fact, I'd be mildly surprised if they won both of them.
Yeah, let me reel this back. We're talking about the Texas Longhorns.
Yes.
Just want to make sure. I think I heard you say was they might lose to Kentucky or Mississippi State.
Here's why I'm on those games. They go on the road as I scroll quickly through their schedule. The Kentucky game comes after they've played Florida and Oklahoma in consecutive weeks. And then the Mississippi State game is the week after Kentucky. So you're on the road. You sleepwalk early. You find yourself down 21-10 at halftime or something like that. The crowd's into it. It's just not your day. Those are warning shot games for me. Another under that I like, Missouri.
Zach, before you go over, we're recording a Football Scoop podcast. We're being serious here.
Mm-hmm. I'm on it. Missouri under 7.5. Scott, we had a college football insider reach out to the two of us yesterday to point out that Missouri has not named a starting quarterback, which is a warning sign, in my opinion, for any team, but especially for Missouri. Bo Prabula left Penn State during the playoff to go be Missouri's starting quarterback and make a whole lot of money in the process. He has not beaten out Sam Horn, who had Tommy John surgery last year and plays baseball as well. So I'm taking that as a warning sign. I'm going Missouri under 7.5. I'm going North Carolina under 7.5. You guys, my thoughts are well documented there. But the one I would place money on is under Notre Dame under 10.5. And I'm not only going to say that, I'm going to say this. There's a better chance Notre Dame starts 0-2 than there is that they hit the over of 10.5. They open at Miami. Then they come home and beat Texas A&M or play Texas A&M. I think there's a better chance they lose both of those games than there is that they win 11 regular season games. And we all know Marcus Freeman's propensity to drop a game he shouldn't. So I'll pause there for reaction before I go to my overs.
Excuse me, you want to chime in on anything? There's a lot.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought we were. Well, first of all, I didn't realize that this was not only multiple choice, but this was a damn buffet where we just pick as many items as we want. So I am prepared for one that I think will blow over, and one that I think will absolutely sell under. And I struggled to narrow it down to just one, but I made that sacrifice, Zach. I don't even know where to start with what you just uttered, other than I have to start at Texas. The other UT, the original UT, was founded in 1794 in East Tennessee. I do want to point that out. There's not a chance in hell that Texas is losing at Kentucky or Mississippi State. Do you realize that Kentucky's win total this year is 4.5, the over-under in Vegas? These people that make their living off of over-unders, 4.5. That's factoring in they're going to get smoked by Texas. It's Kentucky's 7th or 8th game of the season. They will be fully engulfed in what Mark Pope is going to have 2 weeks later when Big Blue Madness tips off. There's not a chance. And then Mississippi State, it's not Jeff Lebby's fault. I think he's a really good coach, a really sharp coach. But they're so far behind their peers in the SEC, and they're better than they were. But you don't make that ground up in 1 year or even 2 years in the SEC unless you suddenly have $50 million like Texas Tech, which Mississippi State does not. There is no way that Texas loses either one of those games. I'll bet any amount of money you want to bet on it right now. I don't care if they're not even playing Arch Manning because he's getting ready for the draft. It's not happening. Like, they're not losing either one of those games. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I do think Notre Dame has a very tough two-game opening stretch, but I'm not as sold on Texas A&M this year, a team that really faltered down the stretch last year, losing 4 of its final 5, and Mike Elko taking back control of the defense as its play caller is significant, but he's also the head coach now, so that means some divided attention for him.
Okay. I'm glad we're doing this. I'm glad we can put a pin into that stretch of Texas' road swing to Lexington and Stark Vegas. All I'm saying, if Texas and Mississippi State played next Saturday, yeah, obviously Texas wins every single time, but this sport, you don't play your best every single week. You're not your best self every single week.
I don't care. I don't care if Texas plays its third team. It's winning those games. I don't care if they play this afternoon. I'm not good at technology in some regards, but I'm going to clip the audio of this, and I'm going to play it each of those Saturdays, Zach, on social media. I'm going to taunt your butt mercilessly.
Okay. I look forward to that.
Like, all right, I'm not saying Texas is infallible, but they're – not losing those games. God, this video is worth it, not for my histrionics, but for Scott just sitting there giggling. He's just giggling
entirely.
All right, here are my overs.
He was joking with us.
I've got just a few overs here that I like. I like Arizona State over 8.5. Oh, they lost Cam Scatterboo. What are they going to do? They got Sam Levitt, the best quarterback in the Big 12. They've got Jordan Tyson, who might be the best player in the Big 12. What are they going to do? They're going to adjust. They're going to do what good coaching staffs do. They're going to build a different identity. I like Kenny Dillingham. Everyone likes Kenny Dillingham. He's going to win over 8.5 games. I like UNLV over 8.5. It's a Dan Mullen has acquired the all-stars of the Island of Misfit Toys. Half their team has been former Power Four players. They're going to win at least 9 games. Dan Mullen's he's not a perfect head coach, but he's a great ball coach. I like TCU over 6.5. This team won 8-9 games last year. They bring back Josh Hoover. There's no way they're going 6-6. I like Texas A&M over 7.5. I guess I'm basically picking them to win in South Bend. And then here's my strong one. I think there's a better chance Toledo goes undefeated than they are that they hit their under of 8.5 wins.
There's no way Toledo could go undefeated because they have to play at Kentucky, and Kentucky's going to beat Texas. So no team that loses to Toledo is going to.
You seem to forget what sport we cover. We get bonkers results. Kentucky losing to Toledo and beating Texas is a totally college football thing to happen.
Kentucky losing to Toledo is a totally Kentucky thing to happen that people are already predicting. Kentucky is not beating Texas unless it's on the hardwood.
If you're a fan of the Football Scoop podcast, you're familiar with the fact that Zach is 28 years old and has 19 years of experience in this profession. He loves this stuff. Zach can write for days and days and days, as you can hear. What you might not know, Zach also hosts a radio show in the DFW Metroplex area on Saturdays. And now you can see he's become a radio host. The assignment was, give me one team that's going to go over. And Zach just rattled off 5 overs, 6 unders.
I'm providing value to the listener, Scott. There's enough here for someone to send their family on vacation.
Okay.
Holy smokes. JB?
Yeah, again, I could have selected the buffet, but I went a la carte. So my a la carte over is San Diego State. I'm a Sean Lewis believer. Vegas has set them at 4.5 wins. I don't see that at all. I think they go beyond that. And I've got evidence and research as to why I believe that. First of all, they returned 7 all-conference players from last year's debut squad under Sean Lewis. In addition to that, they have Michigan transfer quarterback Jaden Dinegal, who is going to be their starting quarterback. They have 10 starters back on defense. Sean Lewis was a really good coach in the MAC, who had a chance to do some – he nearly got hired for a couple of SEC offensive coordinator jobs before he went to Colorado, and we'll leave that in the past, I suppose. I don't know that any of us believes he got a super fair shake in that regard. But, you know, he won with less resources at Kent State than what he has at San Diego State. He won with less talent at Kent State, not to the level that Toledo has won, but he won at Kent State. And then, again, they've got 10 starters back on defense. 4 of them were all Mountain West Conference selections a year ago. They got Kalen Ellis starting at guard. He was Syracuse's starting left guard last year, and Syracuse won 10 games. They've got a bunch of guys. They've got a kid from Texas A&M, a kid from UCLA, which is in Los Angeles. So anyway, I just really like San Diego State to go over 4.5 wins this year, guys.
I looked at the schedule. I see possibilities. I don't feel like it's locked, but I see possibilities for sure. I mean, you got Hawaii, you got Stony Brook, you got Wyoming, which isn't gonna be easy. That's a different set of styles. I don't see a lot of just guarantees, but yeah, I see a shot.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not calling them undefeated and beating Texas or anything. I'm just saying I think San Diego State probably gets to 6 wins, probably is a bowl team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they snuck up to 7 or 8 wins. I really like the roster that they've assembled, and I am a believer in Sean Lewis and them being much better this year than they were a year ago.
I can see that, JB. This is a challenging non-conference schedule for a school like San Diego State. You get a solid FCS team in Stony Brook to open the year. Then you're at Washington State, home against Cal, at Northern Illinois. I mean, those are 3 losable games right there. And if you drop all 3, you're not – that spells doom for you. But I'm with you. I don't
disagree. They got a shot. Yeah, man, yeah. You could fight in those games and maybe sneak out a win here and there. And yeah.
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 None of them are completely fait accompli.
Unwinnable.
They're all losable as well.
Yeah, and Stony Brook, they got a great coaching staff there. But that's going to be tough to go all the way across the country and win on a Thursday night. You know, Cal replacing its quarterback, lost a lot. I'm a Justin Wilcox believer. I've known him since he was Tennessee's defensive coordinator, so I like that guy, full disclosure. But that's not an impossible game for San Diego State. Northern Illinois, a darling last year, especially with their win at Notre Dame. But they lost some games they shouldn't have. So I think that's a toss-up game. Colorado State at home. I like San Diego State there. Tough one at Fresno for sure. Won't be easy at Nevada. Jeff Choate does a really nice job. Hawaii, you know, that's late in the season. And I don't know how much depth Hawaii has. Home against Boise State's their toughest game on the schedule, period, in my opinion. San Jose State, we know Ken's done a great job in New Mexico rebuilding there. So, yeah, I'm not saying they're going 10-0 or 12-0 and ready to play the likes of Kentucky or Toledo, but I like them to go over 4.5 wins.
Okay. How about on the downside?
On the downside, I have the Pitt Panthers, who are sitting at 6.5 in Vegas for their win total. I almost took BYU because they obviously are unexpectedly starting a true freshman and Bear Bachmeyer. But he's a former highly regarded 4-star recruit, but they expected to have Jake Retzlaff and they don't. But Pitt, I don't like the way that Pitt closed last season at all. After they started 7-0, they lost their final 6. They had a heinous bowl loss. You know, Cade Bell has shown some stuff, but he wasn't consistent enough running the Pitt offense as its coordinator last year. And I just think there's some concerns there overall with the depth of Pitt. They're not at the bottom of the ACC, but they're certainly not at the top of the ACC. in the money that they've invested into NIL and into rev share. They're going to beat Duquesne and Central Michigan probably to start the season. But then I think they could start losing games in a hurry, having to go to West Virginia, Rich Rod Revival. Louisville is a dangerous team for sure. Austin College has improved. To Florida State. Look, if Pitt goes and wins at Florida State, that's horrible news for Mike Norvell and company. And that's another program that I almost had on my over-unders on my watch list for today. But again, I was not choosing the buffet option.
Understandable. I appreciate it. You understood the assignment.
Yeah, I agree with you, JB. Again, I mean, they're probably starting 2-0, but then after that, to hit the over, they got to go 5-5 over a string of 10 straight toss-up games, including, I mean, this is a brutal stretch at Stanford. Stanford, we don't expect to be a good team, but just to go on the road that far, odds are stacked against them. Then you get an off week, but then Notre Dame at Georgia Tech, home against Miami in succession. You hope that there's snowy conditions for that Miami game just to slow down the Hurricanes. But I would take them to lose all three of those games. So then you'd have to go 5-2 in that middle stretch and probably not happening.
All right. We'll see. Gentlemen, I'm going to take us to the Big Ten. I got an over and an under in the Big Ten. Both are sitting at 7.5 win totals in Vegas. Over, I'm going the Fighting Burts, Brett Bielema's squad, the Illini. 7.5 is the number. Here's what I see. We start Western Illinois, Duke, Western Michigan. I'm going to count 3 wins there. Duke's a good football team. West Michigan's a good football team. Bielema's going to big boy Duke, I think. Then he goes to Indiana. It's a battle. He's got USC. I don't know. He's going to beat Purdue. He's not going to beat Ohio State. He's got a shot at Washington. He's got a shot at Rutgers. He's going to beat Maryland. He's going to beat Wisconsin, beat Northwestern. Brett Bielema gets probably 9 wins, maybe more, to be honest. So I feel very confident in that. Brett's a very good football coach. The staff loves the guy. Every conversation I have with somebody who works in Illinois, they're like, man, Brett's awesome. They like their team. Their team has found their footing. They're going to be good. On the under, I think I'm the only one here would go this way. I'm going under 7.5 on Nebraska. I know you guys believe Matt Rhule, year 3, all that jazz, because he's done it in the past, and there's no denying he's done it in the past. 7.5 wins, okay? Cincinnati is a toss-up. Let's assume he gets that win. He beats Akron. He beats Houston Christian. So that's 3, okay? Michigan, Michigan State, let's give him a split that, so he's got 4. At Maryland, you hope so, but you're not so sure. But let's give that one to him. Now he's got 5 wins, okay? At Minnesota, I'm not so sure. Northwestern, I think he gets them. That's 6. USC, UCLA, let's give him 1 of those. That's 7. He finishes at Penn State and Iowa, and I don't think he wins those 2 games. I got him at 7 wins. Yeah. I mean, I got him at 7 wins.
I like your Illinois pick a lot. Now I'm not ready to anoint Illinois as the 3rd or 4th Big Ten playoff team this year. And I've seen a lot of that percolating on Twitter and on the internet and all of that. Like Illinois is going to go 10-2 and make the CFP. I'm not there yet. But if they beat USC at home, then I might be there. But I do like that one. I don't agree with your under just because I don't view the Nebraska-Cincinnati game as a toss-up. Maybe I'm wrong.
I gave it to him.
And I know you gave it to him, but if I don't view that as a toss-up, then that probably means I think another game that you call a toss-up, I consider a win. So
yeah, it seems like he would need, out of what I just said, he would need the win at Minnesota or versus Iowa to go above 7.5. If you give him all the other wins I already gave him, maybe he gets one of those, maybe.
I like you being in the Big Ten, and I want to remind our faithful readers and listeners, this is not the Bold Predictions podcast content piece. That's coming next week, and mine is coming from the Big Ten. So just a little – we call that a teaser in the entertainment.
What we're doing.
Or whatever business
we're in. I think everybody who knows this understands that one bold prediction is one bold prediction.
Zach's doing one for every conference.
I'm going to pick every single game now.
He's going to get something all right.
Season long. Okay, I have 2 thoughts on Scott's. Frankly, I'm surprised Illinois' number is 7.5. Like, I'm not a Vegas historian, but I'd be interested to know the last time the AP preseason number 12 team had an over-under of 7.5. So there seems to be quite a bit of difference there between Vegas and the pollsters. And then my other thought is I think there's a better chance. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but we're talking odds here. I think there's a better chance Nebraska starts 8-0 than there is that they don't hit 7.5 wins.
I'm sorry, but you're wrong. But okay.
One thing to agree with Zach.
Nebraska starting 8-0.
I didn't make this point when I said I picked Pitt to go under. But that Stanford trip, just for context, because that made me curious, it's almost 2,700 miles one way. Think about that. So that's insanity.
I don't have the ACC, but I know Big Ten teams went like 3-9 last year when they went from the Eastern or Central time zone out west. So obviously different conference, but same dynamic.
Yeah. But, I mean, to Scott's point about Nebraska, like, I think they'll be 4-0 for sure. I think looking at it, yeah, I mean, if I'm Nebraska, I'm pretty mad.
4-0 would include beating Michigan. You're throwing that in there?
They're not going to have Sharon Moore. They're not going to have a chance.
Well, more importantly, they're not going to have Connor Stallions. I like Nebraska. I'm not going to say 8-0, but I like Nebraska to be 6-0 and that Friday night game under the lights in Minneapolis will be a massive it'll be an incredible atmosphere on the eve of a lot of other big games around college football on Saturday, October 18th. So I do if Nebraska is worse than 6-2 after 8 games, then I would agree that it will be one of the more disappointing teams in college football this year. But I think 6-2 is a worst-case scenario for Nebraska after 8 games.
Okay, so we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but since we're on the topic, I want to have the conversation.
Can we pause one second before you go? 6-2 is what I had them in my analysis. I had a meeting Northwestern to get to 7-2. Oh, no, 6-2, Northwestern's already in that. So I had either USC or UCLA getting to 7, and I had them losing the last two, Penn State and Iowa. They get 7 wins. Under. It's under.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys this question.
Right. Yeah.
Let's say Scott's right, and Nebraska goes 6-6. Is that a bigger indictment on Matt Rule or Nebraska football?
Well, they're one and the same at this point in time. So
I would agree. Totally.
To your point, Scott, I said 6-2 should be worst case scenario, and I still think that they can go 2-2 down the stretch after that if they're 6-2. But they should be. I mean, really, they should be 7-1 after 8 games. But
I don't under 7.5. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see them winning under the lights where they're rowing the boats in Minneapolis on a Friday night.
My question is, like, if Nebraska goes 6-6, are they closer to Purdue, Maryland, Rutgers territory of the bottom rung of the Big Ten? Or are they – is Matt Rule just the fourth straight coach to underachieve in Lincoln?
Can it be both?
Mm-hmm. I guess it could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna pull a page from your book, Zach, and choose C, all of the above.
Okay.
Since you've shown one choice is not necessary, I'm going with C, all of the above.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'd say it only because I'm only kneeling you this hard because I love you. But
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
The Football Scoop Podcast is always fun, never dull. I appreciate your time this morning, gentlemen. As a reminder, we're going 3 days a week, all season long, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. One bold prediction's coming soon, gentlemen. Prepare yourselves.
Oh, I'm ready. Bring it.
Pray with your wives. Let them know you love them. With that, we're out. Appreciate everybody watching.